plate a potential nugget.
Raghu, you went to IIT Madras as well.
That's right.
Several batches before I went to the campus.
Yeah.
But post IITM, you've made a set of choices which are, I would say, quite different from a lot of the others.
That's right.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the key choices you might have made post that, and maybe also talk a little bit about what you do now?
I think most of the choices that I made were actually set in the last couple of years of study. Yeah. I finished in 72, right? So 70s were a very, very important time across the globe. Yeah. Because there were a lot of student revolutions happening all over the world. Vietnam was happening. And I got to meet people who were part of the Vietnam resistance in America, who were traveling the world, who dropped into IIT. And these were very, interesting kind of movements. So at a time when the general idea in IIT is to go abroad, right? I was confronted with, really looking at, many of these influences, right? Which made me deeply question, what should I do with my life? Yeah, one of my friends was very interested in Sri Aurobindo. So we would read that together and things like that. So these were very critical things. And the other critical thing was meeting up with Dharampal. Yeah, unfortunately, not very many people know about Dharampal. He was a Gandhian who had worked with the Panchayati Raj, setting up the Panchayati Raj system in India. And he has done a lot of study of what was India like in the 17th, 18th century, just when the British came in. And his recounting of it, which interestingly is largely from the records of the British, the viceregal records in Britain. He went there, spent a long time. It's a fascinating study, right? And when you hear people like this who've been in the movement, who've really studied this, speak to you about India, it really moves you, right? The kind of sacrifices that were made, his own direct experience of Gandhiji, right? And then there was another very important professor called, we used to call him Caesar, Seshadri, Dr. Seshadri, yeah? He was another big influence because he was one of the people in IIT who challenged the idea of why we are doing science. Why are we doing technology, right? What should we focus on? Yeah, so though immediately after IIT, I went into, working with a medium scale company. My dad was running a company making printing machines. I got in, heading manufacturing. But very soon, things changed. Yeah, because when I went in, things seemed hunky-dory from the outside. No? So when you go in, you discover how the organization is working. And I went right into a turnaround situation. Okay? And I did a lot of work on the shop floor, which is like bringing in flow manufacturing. And things like that. My focus was operations research.
Sure.
So a lot of the work that I did was on that production, manufacturing. So I did that and did bring about a turnaround as far as the operations were concerned. So slashed down the turnaround time of manufacturing the machine to 1/3 of what it was and things like that. But the other thing that happened was I discovered how many mistakes my dad had made in running the business and, abhipraya bhedam, like you call, na? So I had to leave. And that's when the choices became much more critical, right? And by that time, this whole, Dharampal was in Chennai over a period of time. So constant engagement with him plus other influences and things like that. So one of the critical things I think that happened, which really changed the course, was a conversation that I had with Dharampal, many of us, not just me, where he asked a group of us, you know, what are you going to do with your education? Right? Are you going to run behind the tails of the West, or are you going to invest it in India? How do you make India great? Right? Can you do it by going abroad? What's your idea? Yeah? And also this whole question of what does it mean to be Indian? Mm. Right? And the necessity of going back to your roots in order to build, right? That you can't import ideas and graft them on a culture that is not compatible. So several ideas like this. Huh? So that's when one of the suggestions he made was that each of us take up an area of study, right? Go to a teacher, study for at least 10 years.
Wow.
Right? And study a text in depth, right? And see why it is relevant for India today. Right? So his advice was very, very simple. He said, don't go and study to glorify India. Go and study to see if there is something real out here.
Mm.
Right? So many of us took up different areas of studies. I went into yoga, particularly to look at psyche, how the psyche works. My wife, Sashi, you know, she was also part of this. There was a movement called the People's Patriotic Science and Technology.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to study Vastu Shastra. Balu studied Vriksha Ayurveda. MD Srinivasan went into studying Indian mathematics and science. Navjyoti went into studying aesthetics. Right? So it was not just me. Many of us.
What's fascinating as I hear you, Raghu, is the pathway. Spend 10 years, go deep. There are no easy answers at the surface. You need to really go deep. It takes 10 years. And then see what you can do with it.
That's right.
Such a refreshing approach.
That's right.
To driving change rather than just running with it.
Yeah, of course.
I was really struck by the notion of going deep into a subject for a decade before emerging to make a difference. I recently watched this documentary, Jiro Dreams of Sushi. It's available on Netflix and YouTube if you want to look it up. It speaks about how Jiro, a Japanese restaurant owner, has taken sushi making from a mundane activity to an art form. It's an 80-odd minute documentary, but it's got lessons about craftsmanship, patience, resilience, focus, quest for excellence, and much, much more. Last but not the least, it alludes to the notion of how we relate to time. Nothing comes easy or quickly. A decade seems about the right time frame to make meaningful progress in any discipline. I'm also reminded of something that came up in my conversation with Bill Carr, author of Working Backwards, a book that talks about some of the things that make Amazon so unique and special. When I asked him about what we can learn from Jeff Bezos, he referred to how Jeff thought about timescales.
The other thing that Jeff, that's learnable, that's remarkable about Jeff, is the time scale is his way of thinking about time. Most of us are actually very short-term thinkers. Many who are so short-term just think about what's going on, you know, how can they satisfy their needs at this hour? Some of us who are longer-term can think in terms of days or weeks or months or a few years. But Jeff thinks in terms of decades. And, you know, if you want one example of the way in which he thinks at a time scale that's different, just go Google Clock of the Long Now after this podcast and learn about a project that he is financing to build a clock that will run for 10,000 years. And he's also deeply curious about space. And if you think about, you know, space and time, then you realize, of course, that we are A, so small, and B, you know, time is so vast and long. So that long-term thinking, though, comes in very handy when you are trying to be an effective business leader.
The challenge is that we don't really get any feedback in the short term for some of these investments or the long term. How do we really build the discipline and the tenacity to keep chipping away at this is a real question that each one of us has to answer in our respective lives. Thank you for listening.